Today on Maine Calling, the total solar eclipse right here in Maine. The weather forecast calls for almost perfectly clear skies today, much to the relief of people who have traveled from near and far to Maine to be able to witness the celestial sensation, the total eclipse of the sun. Crowds are gathering in places like Rangeley and Rockwood, Patton and Presque Isle. Holton and Jackman are jam-packed. I'm Cindy Hahn, and today my colleague Jennifer Rooks is one of those enthusiasts. She's in Jackman to be in the path of totality when the moon completely blocks the sun for more than 3 minutes. She'll join us to talk with two astronomers about the significance of this eclipse and how to experience it. And we'll hear about how they'll contribute key data to NASA that will help illuminate how the sun's corona works. Quite an astronomical day. Maine Calling is coming right up.
Maine Calling On Demand is made possible in part by Maine Farmland Trust, working with farmers to grow the future of farming and food in Maine. Learn how you can get involved at mainefarmlandtrust.org/learn. And by Welch & Forbes, working with clients to manage the full range of events that come with building wealth, from investments to trustee services. More at welchforbes.com.
This is Maine Calling. I'm Cindy Hahn. Perhaps you've heard there's an eclipse happening today. It's a total solar eclipse, and Maine is right smack in the path of totality. And amazingly, the skies are clear. Towns like Holton and Jackman are overrun with eclipse enthusiasts, including Maine Calling's Jennifer Rooks. She is in Jackman right now with two astronomers, Sean Lotch, director of Versant Power Astronomy Center and the Maynard Jordan Planetarium with the University of Maine, and John Meter, director of the Northern Stars Planetarium and Education Service. He's also a photographer. They'll share some of their expertise and advice with us today before going off to view the big event. We invite you to join the conversation. What do you want to know about the eclipse? Where are you viewing it? Send an email to talk@mainepublic.org, post a comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. Hi, Jen, Sean, and John. How are you doing over there?
Oh my goodness, Cindy, this is so amazing up here. Jackman, Maine, population 830-something, has been transformed into, really, you might say, center of universe. There are cars lined up to come in. They don't even try to count how many people are here because people just keep arriving. We've been sitting and listening to folks in the town office, Heather and Kira, take phone calls from pilots who want to fly into the airport here. So far, 15 planes have come. Sean and John and so many of their colleagues from other planetariums and other places are outside of Town Hall. They've set up telescopes people can look through. Jackman officially, there have never been people in this time before. Anyway, two, and Sean Lotch, John Meter. Why don't we start with asking you, John, there are several communities going to be in this line of totality. The three total eclipse. Why did you choose Jackman?
Yeah, so for us, Jackman is on that center line, and we're part of a special NASA called American Telescopic Eclipse, and we're looking at the sun, particularly the corona, in polarized light. So there's actually, as part of the project, the Northeast Regional my graduate student, Nikita Sani, and we're 35 stations set up from Texas all the way to Maine. So we're site 33. There is a site above Holton and one above Millinocket on the center line. So they had to travel outside of those two towns to get to the center line to collect this data. But yeah, we chose Jackman. We figured that would be the best place for our team. And we're really excited to be sharing this with people and of course, collecting that data for NASA.
And I'm going to take a moment to say, if you all who are listening on the radio right now think, oh my goodness, their audio is spotty. This is technically not perfect, and that is because so many news teams are here right now using the same internet, Jackman Maine's internet, that is designed for a town with 800 people. So we're doing the best we can, and it's just really a lot of technology plugged into one place at the same time. What are the odds, do you think, that we were going to have a disc?
I think it's almost as good as winning the lottery, you might say. So, it is one of those things. When we were originally planning this, you know, of course, Texas historically would have had an 80% chance of clear weather. We only had a 40% chance of clear weather. And, you know, it's totally flipped. Now people from Texas, I know, you know, Wednesday I had a call from, you know, PBS National saying that they were in Texas. They wanted to come here and join us. It's just, you know, because the weather is really flipped. And even we're talking with the folks at Mount Washington Observatory this past Thursday night, you know, and their meteorologist was doing something all along the path, you know, and just, yeah, Maine is going to be the place. Because again, the weather here is perfect, and a lot of those other places aren't going to, you know, unfortunately, probably aren't going to have as clear a view as we are. So we're very lucky to have one thing.
There are camps of people. There are people in the state for years, and they have, you know, they've got the proper camera. They've taken maybe a class on how to take a picture. They have eclipse glasses because they ordered their eclipse glasses 3 months ago. And then there are people, and I know these people, who have spending the weekend running around trying to find some eclipse glasses. Places are running out. And other people saying, okay, what's the big deal? Maybe at 3:30 I'll go look up. So give us some guidance for each of those groups, but especially people who just now are sort of catching on that today's a big day. What do we need to know to do and not do from 3 to 4 this afternoon?
Well, during the partial phases, starts around 2:18, you want eclipse glasses. Yes. Don't aren't work and the day glasses like them there. So you want eclipse glasses, and ideally you already have them. I was involved Walgreens yesterday buying some batteries, and this gentleman came in hunting for eclipse glasses, and they were out. He says, "This is the sixth place I've gone that doesn't have them." Said they had them, and well, hopefully you have them, and with those you can safely get the sun. You can watch it for the whole time. If you have old eclipse glasses, they're probably okay, but if they've been folded, if there are any little pinholes, they are not safe. You know, I've been telling kids, because I've been teaching kids for the last month about the eclipse, and a lot of the schools are giving kids eclipse glasses. And I said, you know, if you get those home and you find you've been sitting on them in the car on the way home or in the school bus and they're all wrinkly, you don't want to use them. They're not safe. They'll damage your eyes. So you really do need protection. When you get to totality at around 3:30, when the moon totally covers the photosphere, which is the surface of the sun, then you can take your eclipse glasses off. As a matter of fact, you need to. If you keep watching it with eclipse glasses, you'll see absolutely.
Only if they're in the totality. People aim sides of totality never take off.
It's different at 9.8%. You know, like I have a friend who's going to be in Skowhegan. 99%, that's close enough. I said, no, you can drive the extra 10 or 15, 20 miles and go north, because 99% is 0% totality. And 99%, if you have 1% of the sun visible, it's 10,000 times brighter than the full moon. Mm. It will damage your eyes.
Okay. I'm going to come back to the conversation about what to do at 3 o'clock this afternoon in just a minute. But first, we're going to go back to Cindy. Cindy, we have seen a lot of traffic up here in Jackman. What is the scene all over the state?
Well, we're going to talk to Paul Merrill about that. He is the spokesperson for Maine Department of Transportation.
Cindy, can you hear me?
Yes. Thanks for calling. Thanks for joining us, Paul.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
So number one concern for many people right now is the traffic. How is everything?
Things have been pretty well all weekend. We started to see things pick up about 10:30 this morning, and that's primarily in the western part of the state, heading out to where Jennifer is, you know, Route 201, 27, 4, Carrabassett Valley. We're starting to see some delays there, 5 to 30 minutes. We're also starting to see some things pick up on Route 6 on the way to Moosehead, east of Bangor a little bit on 1A. Other than that, things are moving. We've seen some increased traffic volumes over the weekend leading up to today. They didn't quite get to the level that we see on, say, a Memorial Day or Labor Day weekend. But people are coming to Maine, and we're starting to see things pick up. I've also seen some pictures online of people filling up rest stops and stopping on the shoulder. We really want to discourage people from stopping on the shoulder of a highway. It's a safety issue, and also if you get into the mud, you may not get out.
Good point. Any other advice for staying safe and being prepared to be on the road?
You know, we just want people to find a safe spot on pavement, but away from traffic. Hunker down, enjoy the eclipse, enjoy the afternoon, and then enjoy a little bit of time in Maine before you hit the road to head home, because we're hoping that we don't see a big mass of people heading south and other spots out of the state come 4 or 5 o'clock. We've been telling people, arrive early, plan ahead, stay late, extend your stay in Maine a little bit to avoid some traffic congestion headaches this evening.
Might as well enjoy while you're here, right? How about you? What are you doing today? Are you going to try to see the eclipse?
I have my glasses right here. I'm going over to MEMA with some other state worker colleagues to be over there monitoring the situation. I'm sure we'll all take a step outside when the eclipse is happening to take a peek. And I'm excited that my mother is picking up my 4-year-old daughter from school today so they can experience the eclipse together.
Oh, that's great. It is historic. That's wonderful. Well, thank you for calling us and updating us on the traffic situation. That was Paul Merrill with Maine DOT. And just a reminder to everyone listening, we want to hear what your experience is like, where you're headed and what you expect to see, or even if you don't feel like going somewhere, let us know about that too. Call 1-800-399-3566. You can email us to talk@mainepublic.org or post a comment on Facebook or Instagram. And a reminder that the audio on Jen's end up in Jackman is a little dicey just because they're pretty much overloaded with folks coming into Jackman. So that's why the audio might sound a little off from usual. We're going now to Nick Woodward. He is our own intrepid colleague from Maine Public. He's our Director of Media Services, and he has a knack for going to the extremes for a story. In fact, he is atop Mars Hill right now, and that is particularly special because it is both the easternmost and the highest location in the U.S. to view the total solar eclipse. So, Nick, thanks for calling.
Thank you, Cindy. Yeah, and just to make sure we get that clear, it's eastern and highest. You got to put the two together. There are certainly some people a little further east than us. We are about a mile from the New Brunswick border, so I'm sure there are lots of people here right on the border watching. But yes, we're on top of Mars Hill, about 1,600 feet up, and it is absolutely beautiful up here. It's like a summer's day. We're out in T-shirts, shorts, walking on at least a foot of snow, trying to get the heavy cameras from sinking into it. But it's going to be perfect viewing from up here in Mars Hill.
What sort of setup do you have, and what are you trying to do?
Well, we're doing the live stream, as you've heard. We'll be starting probably around 2. And so we'll show everything from the close-ups of the sun and the eclipse progressing to some wide shots. We've got one camera up on the roof of our Mars Hill transmitter building shooting down towards Mount Katahdin. That's about 83 miles away, and that's a beautiful shot. So hopefully you'll see the sun above Mount Katahdin. We have 2 big cameras here, and if you're a lens geek, we have about 1,200 millimeter lenses on 2 cameras, which are close enough that they get so close to the sun, we have to zoom back out in order to see the entire sun. And if all goes well, we'll have a couple drones up because of the 360 sunset that happened. So we're going to see if we can bring people that. And from our perch up here atop Mars Hill, as, again, we've got New Brunswick. I'm looking at New Brunswick right there. There's Mount Katahdin. We're about 30 miles north of Houlton, but we're still in the 100% totality path. And we're hoping for the best. And another reason we came here, Cindy, was to not have the problem that Jen's having in Jackman. We had looked at a lot of other places around, but we knew we would be at the mercy of the cell service. And we've heard these horror stories from past eclipses. So we came to our transmitter shack on top of Mars Hill where we can plug into internet, and hopefully we'll have a nice solid stream for everyone to watch starting at 2.
Not quite as many people mobbing your spot there. Well, thanks for giving us a call. And remind everybody how they can watch that live stream, Nick.
Yeah, the easiest way is to go to mainpublic.org, and right on the front, you'll see the live stream video pop up. And if you miss it, you can tune in later. It'll be available on demand as soon as it's over. So fingers crossed, and let's hope for blue skies and clear internet.
Well, thank you so much for giving us a call from the top of Mars Hill, and I hope you enjoy the experience while you're at it. Nick Woodward is Maine Public's Director of Media Services. And before we go back to Jen and Jackman, let's go to a caller. This is Raymond calling from Kittery. Hi, Raymond. Go ahead.
Hello. I just have a suggestion for watching the eclipse. The reflection off a piece of clear glass with a piece of black paper underneath. And you can also watch it with sunglasses. The reflection with sunglasses would help also. And huh. That way you don't get the full sun.
Okay, let's see if our astronomers can weigh in on that idea, Jen.
Well, I can weigh in on that. I would be cautious because you can get a reflection that is safe, but you can get a reflection that really isn't safe. The light that you can't judge by how bright it is, because the light that's really doing the damage isn't visible in the spectrum. And I would be very cautious of that.
If you can use projection where you poke up a pinhole in a sheet of cardboard and stand with your back towards the sun, and I'll do it incorrectly. That's the way to do it. But that would not be a side direction of it.
Yeah. You can just take two places, pinhole in one. The sun, you pull the sun shines through that pinhole, projecting that you see a round circle right now. When the eclipse starts, that circle starts to be taken out of it, and the bite gets bigger. Bigger and actually watching without looking directly at the sun or having the sun's light reflect directly across. You really cut that light down by like 99.999% of the light you just do. So I'd be really cautious doing what he suggested.
John, you heard Nick Woodward talking about how Maine Public is going to video and stream this. We do need to go to a break, but when we come back, I definitely want to ask you for some photography tips for those who are not nearly as talented as you are. But I do need to go to a break. We are in Jackman for Maine Calling. It is the day, great eclipse of 2024. As we go to a break, we'll hear from Passing Digit, left message on our brand new Fossil app. We can go to.
My husband and our dog and a few friends will watch the eclipse from the east branch of the Penobscot River near Mattagammon Lake. We booked a cabin there over a year ago, and we're really hoping the forecast for sunshine holds.
Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Cindy Hahn. Today's show is out of Jackman, one of the towns in the path of the total solar eclipse. Maine Calling host Jennifer Rooks is there now in the heart of the action with our guests, both astronomy experts, Sean Lotch with UMaine's Astronomy Center and Planetarium, and John Meter with Northern Stars Planetarium. Share your questions and comments. What do you want to know about viewing the eclipse, and have you experienced one in the past? Email us at talk@mainepublic.org. You can also post on Facebook or Instagram, or call 1-800-399-3566. And as a reminder, if you've heard, the audio isn't so great coming out of Jackman because of the overloaded internet over there with so many people wanting to be there for the eclipse. So help us by calling in. Call 1-800-399-3566. We want to hear from you. Fill up those lines so that we get the good audio coming from you instead of choppy audio. So 1-800-399-3566. And joining us on the line right now is Torbert calling from York. Hi, Torbert. Go ahead.
Good morning, Cindy, Jennifer, and guest. I have a question that should have some kind of mathematical answer to it. The cosmic coincidence of the moon being 400 times smaller than the sun, but 400 times the distance, so they appear to be the exact same size in the sky. What are the odds? I imagine they're astronomical, as it were. But what are the odds that such a coincidence should occur?
Let's see. I did hear that this is an extremely rare coincidence, but
yeah, it's hard.
Sean, go ahead.
Yeah, it's hard to give you an exact number like 1 in 10 billion or anything like that, but we do know that, for instance, in our own solar system, the only place that we have a total solar eclipse is here on Earth. So other planets do get eclipses. We've been able to image eclipses from the surface of Mars with the Mars rovers. We know on Jupiter we see their shadows cross the planet when their moons do so. So we know there are eclipses of other planets. It just so happens that, exactly right. The distance is just right here on Earth. It's hard to say. Earth is the only place we know for certain has total solar eclipses, but it's one of the things actually we're looking for with exoplanets, because they've started to discover moons going around exoplanets. So there might be some place out there that could have that.
Thanks, Sean. I'm going to hope that the audio is sounding good. This is what we hear, that we're sounding a lot better. And I'm going to turn to John Meter. John, most of us don't have the kind of camera you have, but would love to get some sort of great photo this afternoon. What's your advice with a smartphone or a regular person's camera?
Well, if you have a phone, and that's the way lots of people are going to shoot this, and you want to shoot the partial phases when the moon just starts for the first hour and 15 or 20 minutes, you want to take You need a filter for that. And you can take your eclipse glasses, and you want to cover your lenses. Because if the sun can burn your eye, it can burn the sensor in your camera, and it can ruin the camera in your phone. So you want to take an extra pair of eclipse glasses and tape it over the lens on your camera. And then you can take pictures of the sun at that point. If you have a phone that has three lenses, you want to cover them all up, because any one of them can get damaged. Once you get to totality, and the moon totally covers the sun, you want to take that filter off. And you might want to just wait for that. And then you can take all the pictures you want, because you can look right at it. It's not extremely bright. And that's the most beautiful part of the eclipse. And you can just point your camera and go click, 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 click. When you zoom in, you're going to get more detail, and it's going to look better. But you also increase that concentration of light. So like during the partial phases, you're really increasing that, which makes it burn even faster, like during partial phases. But you can do that. I'm using a mirrorless camera, and I'm using an 800 millimeter lens with a filter on it, and we'll be shooting that. But during totality, I'll take that off, and I will take a whole bunch of different exposures, because different parts of this solar corona are different brightnesses, and you need to shoot for the different brightnesses and combine them and do some Photoshop magic.
Sean, what would you like people to be thinking about this afternoon? Obviously we're going to be having this primal human magical experience, but either a fact or I don't know, just sort of a physical eclipse brings to mind.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things that, you know, they are, they are moving, there's even Albanians, and you know, both sides put, you know, down their weapons and signed an armistice. Wouldn't that be nice, given some of the things happening in our world today? I think, you know, the other thing I want folks to know about eclipses is that while they're beautiful and they're spectacular and they're really, really special, they do a lot for science. And we discovered helium, during a solar eclipse in the 1860s. We proved Einstein's theory of relativity, you know, during a solar eclipse. So, I mean, they do a lot for science and for understanding of our place in space and in the solar system. And, you know, part of the work we're doing today is to look at the corona and trying to get a better understanding of how the corona, the atmosphere of the sun, works to predict space weather, which affects us here on planet Earth.
So these are things that we're not able to study except when the sun is blocked out.
Right. The only time you can see the corona is during a total solar eclipse, and that's a very special time for science, because again, the only time we have to get a portion of the sun, only the photosphere is so bright, and even with telescopes that have what's called a coronagraph, it blocks out a portion, but it doesn't allow us to get the inner corona that's really connected right to that photosphere and right at the edge. So this is a really special,
view for astronomers and for people who are interested in solar physics.
And how is it that helium was discovered during a solar eclipse?
So it was shortly, you know, we'd started to be using spectroscopy, and spectroscopy during, you know, helium escapes our atmosphere because it moves so fast, but using spectroscopy during a solar eclipse in the 1860s, I think 1868, is when they saw the line for helium. And so that was the distinct line, because basically, you know, each element gives off an individual spectrum, and that was the first time it was seen, because it moves fast enough to escape our atmosphere normally.
All right. So. Well, we have John Meter here with us, astronomer, John Bradford, our technical wizard, and also we have a caller, John. John is calling in from near Augusta. Hi, John. Go ahead.
Just to let people know, I was hoping to ski Sugarloaf today, and at 8:30 this morning, there was already a mile and a half backup on 27 to the access road, and there was no access up to Sugarloaf. All the parking was full. I turned around, and coming back, at least a mile and a half long lineup, and quite a few cars heading north through Farmington, pretty slow through there, too.
Okay, thanks for your call, John. So not quite as smooth sailing as when Paul Merrill was talking about the situation. I guess it depends on where you are, but thank you for sharing that. Going now to Johanna Johnston, and she is calling from Southern Aroostook Development Corporation. She's the executive director. Hi, Johanna. How are things over there in Holton?
Oh, it's a beautiful day here. We couldn't be more happy about the weather, and the traffic is still pretty smooth here. Our downtown places are filling up, but we still have our community park is open for lots of parking.
Great. And I have a feeling you might have the same situation Jennifer Rooks is having with overrun internet in Holton as well. So a little bit spotty. How has the town been preparing for this day? How long have you been getting ready?
Well, we've had a committee working on this for almost 3 years.
Oh, my goodness. That's a long time. And is it as expected, the crowds and everything?
I think we're still expecting more, but like I said, downtown is getting the most presence right now, and the rest of our parks will be filling up, I think, as we get closer to totality.
Okay, and is there anything catching you by surprise in terms of people, whatever, coming from really far away or by weird modes of transportation?
Actually, we have our downtown headquarters, and we have a map there where people can put a pin on where they're coming from, and that's filling up pretty full. We've got people coming from California and all the way down in from Texas. I had a last-minute booking on Hip Camp from someone that was going to go to Texas, and now they had to put up a tent in my driveway.
Oh, really? Oh, my goodness. You're really giving it all for this event. What are you personally looking forward to as far as the eclipse itself?
Well, this will be my first eclipse as well, so yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what all the hype is about and the different experiences people say, that, you know, the dancing of the shadows and being able to see the different planets in the sky. You know, we have the best view than the rest of the path of totality, so it's exciting.
That is exciting, and you're lucky to be there, and I hope it's not too busy and crazy for you. That was Johanna Johnston with the Southern Aroostook Development Corporation in Holton, and she will check back with folks from Holton on Wednesday on Maine Calling when we do a follow-up show on what the eclipse experience was like for everybody. So tune in on Wednesday, call in on Wednesday, and tell us what you experienced. We want to hear after the fact from everybody. And we'll go now back to Jen talking with our guests in Jackman.
Well, I want to follow up on what Johanna was saying. She was talking about, and I'll go to you, John, being able to see planets in the middle of the eclipse. What can people expect? And when she was talking about shadows dancing, what was that? What does she mean?
There's a phenomenon called shadow bands. And what just before totality, you often see these undulating shadows moving across the terrain. If you want to see it well, a lot of people will spread out like a blanket or something. Or if you're looking at a field of white snow, you can see the contrast better. And you see there's just this funny little shadow that kind of ripples across the terrain. I have personally never seen it. I've seen two totals and one annular eclipse. And I've never seen the shadow bands. I have friends who have. I think, Sean, you saw them once. And I'm not sure exactly what causes that specifically.
Yeah, as I understand it, it's atmospheric effects, basically, because it's sort of just a little bit of the sunlight rippling through our atmosphere. And so you get these, basically, interference waves that get set up. And you can also, in addition to the shadow bands, as mentioned, you can see the brighter planets, which will be visible, particularly Jupiter and Venus should be visible today.
Jupiter will be up and to the left from the sun, and Venus is going to be down and to the right. And Venus will be a little closer than Jupiter. It's going to be about 15 degrees away, and Jupiter's going to be about 30 degrees above. You should definitely see both of those. They're quite bright. Now, everyone's been talking about Comet Pons-Brooks, which is going to be just to the right or to the west of Jupiter, and everyone wants to see it. It's not really bright enough. I don't think it's going to show up to the visible eye. I mean, ideally, I would love to get a photograph with Jupiter, the eclipse thing, and the comet there. I'm going to shoot for it. I don't think I'd be shocked if I get it, and I'll be thrilled if I get it. It's there, but it's really the surface brightness is quite low, and the sky is not going to be like midnight. It's going to be
twilight.
So it might show up in one of the exposures, and if it does, I will definitely be sharing that.
We can't wait. We're going to go now to our Deputy News Director, Susan Sharon, who is in Holton. Susan, we just heard from someone else in Holton. What are you seeing there?
Oh, my word. We're seeing the crowds are starting to gather, Jen, downtown. And we've got a bandstand set up with a radio station that just came on. We have drum circles starting down the street. And we've got a presence from NASA at the theater. They're going to be broadcasting live, I believe, on YouTube this afternoon.
Wow. And what would you say it's a carnival atmosphere? Would you say it's an excited atmosphere? How would you characterize the scene?
You know, I would say it's happy. You know, I think it seems happy. It seems it's sunny here. You know, that it's a beautiful day. The dogs are out with their people. And it just seems like people are really happy and hopeful. That's how I would describe it.
Yeah, I'm experiencing the same thing. And we came down the street. We saw a smile on every single face. There was not a single person walking on the street. My sister Sharon, part of the news team, our deputy news director, just about all of the news teams in different parts of the state of Maine, and will be bringing us reports on the, of course, on all things considered morning edition and on the web and social media, so all sorts of wonderful. We're going to go to another break. Main calling Jackman today. We are talking about the solar eclipse. Our phone number 1-800-399-356 in Bar Harbor.
We're leaving from Bar Harbor on Saturday morning, and we're going to be staying in Jackman. We rented a big house for the duration of the eclipse and some of the festivities, and coming back home on the day after the eclipse.
Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Cindy Hahn. Our topic is today's total solar eclipse, which is happening around 3:30 p.m. in towns from Millinocket to Mars Hill. Jackman is one of the places that people have flocked to view the eclipse, including our own Jennifer Rooks. She's there with our guests, John Meter, a photographer and director of Northern Stars Planetarium, and Sean Lotch, director of UMaine's Versant Power Astronomy Center and Maynard Jordan Planetarium. Join the conversation. Are you excited about the eclipse or apathetic? Email us at talk@mainepublic.org, comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call, 1-800- 1-800-399-3566. And apologies again that there is some spotty audio coming out of Jackman just because of so many people using the internet there today. I'm going to go now to our own Patty White, reporter, who is also in Houlton. Hi, Patty. What's going on over there?
Hey, Cindy. Well, it's just a really fun atmosphere here. There are lots of people walking through the downtown. It's a big difference from yesterday. It was kind of a cloudy day, but it's sunny and lots of people are out and about. There's live music. There's food trucks. There's a performance art group dressed up as aliens that are kind of amusing people. So it's a really fun atmosphere.
Anything? Have you noticed anybody from really far from town or talk to people who came really far?
You know, we spoke to my colleague Susan Sharon, spoke to a couple who came from England yesterday, from Houlton, England, actually. And then this morning I spoke to someone from Lubeck. So we have some people coming, you know, from very far away, and then other people just coming from other parts of the state.
And what are you looking forward to, Patty, with seeing the eclipse?
Well, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing the eclipse, but I'm also just really looking forward to just seeing other people's reactions. You know, we've heard a lot of things that it can get very quiet while the eclipse is happening. So I'm just curious to see kind of, you know, what are people's reactions going to be?
Yeah, with the wildlife going quiet and everything. And I hear people also toast with champagne at the end.
Yeah, I haven't seen any champagne bottles yet, but it's early, you know.
All right. Well, thanks for checking in with us. That's Patty White. She's our main public reporter. And let's go to another call. Let's see. This is Dana. I'm trying to get this. Dana calling from New Hampshire. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Hi. Go ahead. What did you want to say?
Hey, I have a safety question, please, regarding glasses. I purchased a pair from a company, a manufacturer recommended by the American Astronomical Society. I don't know if I can mention names, brand names, but it has the ISO certification, and it has the addresses of where it was made and a lab where it was inspected in Ireland and all the coding and so forth. It appears to be very bona fide. And I looked at it in a 60-watt bulb equivalent, an LED equivalent of 60-watt, and I saw nothing. I'm now calling because I'm concerned, because when I hold a brighter light, a mag light, an LED flashlight at arm's length in front of my face, it's much brighter, of course. I can see the light.
Let's see if our experts can give some advice and whether they can tell whether those are adequate or not. John or Sean, are you able to answer?
I generally tell people if you can see an incandescent bulb through that you shouldn't use them. Those little mag lights really are quite bright. I mean, some light does come through. My guess is it's probably safe. If you were looking at an incandescent, a 60-watt bulb, and you could see it, you definitely do not want to use that one, or even a 100-watt bulb. What are your thoughts, Sean, on that?
Yeah, I think, and if it does have the certification, and again, you know, a super bright light, occasionally you'll see just a tiny bit through it. But if you're seeing a lot through it, then I would say it's not safe. It's one of those things that you want to take care of your eyes because you need them to see more than just the eclipse.
I want to ask, we have several people asking, we have Kelly and Anne. If not in the path of totality, can you take off glasses? And you all want to say no.
You have to, you know, the only time it's safe is during totality when the moon is completely covering the sun. The photosphere is so bright. Again, it can burn your eyes during a regular day, and it's no more powerful. It's just that people want to see what's going on. The corona, that's the only time we can see it, is during totality. That's 1/10,000th as bright as the normal sun that we see, and that's why it's safe to look then, but only then. But yeah, if you're outside the path of totality, you need your glasses for the entire time. Even if you're at 99.9%, you need the glasses for the entire time. Like we tell folks, 99.9% is not 100%.
So if you're lucky enough to be in the path of totality, if you're here in Jackman, mm-hmm. if you're in Millinocket, if you're in Holton, if you're on that stripe, you can take your glasses off during totality. How do you know that it's totality? How do you know that it's safe?
So there's a number of you know, apps. There's phone apps that you can look at that will give you the timings for the, you know, for second and third contact, basically. Typically, if you're with public organized groups, like, for instance, one of our grad students is going to be calling out timings and doing a countdown just prior to and just after, you know, letting folks know that, you know, we're 30 seconds out, then we're 10, 9, 8, you know, and then the same thing coming back out. There's 10 seconds left of totality, 8, 9, you know. So typically, if you're with an organized group, a lot of times there will be people who are doing that. But there are apps. You can look it up online. You do want those timings, you know, to watch those timings very carefully because, again, you want to take good care of your eyes.
Yeah. I mean, if you're watching the eclipse with the eclipse glass, it gets smaller and smaller. When it covers, it's going to just disappear.
Yeah.
And then once it disappears, you can take the glass off. And you're going to be, it's going to be loud. The day is when it begins, but third contact when the sun reappears. When it reappears, it's going to look incredibly bright. Yeah. Eyes have dilated a little bit. You want immediately look away from your glasses back on. But if you can know it's coming, like someone's timing, like Sean's talking about, when the person says three, you want to put your glasses on at that point. You really don't want to be looking at the sun. And if you catch it for that glimpse, it's kind of like taking a glimpse of the sun. It's, you know, it's bright. It's your eyes. Look away. Put your glasses back on. Then you can look again.
Yeah. A second won't hurt you. You're kind of like we glance up to see where the sun is during the daytime. But more than that, that's when you're doing, you know, potential to do damage.
Yeah. And I would suggest if you're... Don't use binoculars as something during totality. It's safe during totality, but if you're looking and that third contact appears and you have optics in front of you, like binoculars or a telescope, that's concentrating that light, and that second will damage your eyes. So just use your eyes and look at the eclipse, and it's spectacular. It's beautiful. You'll find it. In 2017, my wife and I both filled up with tears, and we're like, oh, you know, and if you get... Sunscreen probably isn't a problem today, but you wipe them and then your eyes itch. You're like, no. So it's very emotional. I had taught about eclipses for 40 years, and I spared the emotional aspect of 2017. Hopefully I'm better prepared today.
Hi, Cindy.
We'll go to a caller now. John is calling from Linnaeus. Hi, John. Go ahead.
Hi, Cindy. Hi, Jen. Yeah, this is John. I'm in Linnaeus. It's about 10 miles south of Holton. I'm at my friend's farm, Gallifreyan Farm. And you've been asking about people who've been here at the Katahdin Overlook on 95 North, which I think is probably jam-packed. I met people from California, Colorado, and Florida. And that was at 6 a.m. this morning. So everybody's been coming here, and it's good to see. I just want to offer the best advice that someone gave me in 2017. If it's your first eclipse, don't forget to enjoy the eclipse. Don't worry about the pictures, but enjoy the eclipse. You're there for it. Just enjoy, and don't forget that part.
That's a great tip, John. I was actually wondering about John Meter, whether, even though you've got all this great advice for photographing the eclipse, whether, you know, in some... Sometimes people should just never mind that and just enjoy the moment.
A couple of you and Sean says, if you're in an eclipse, whatever way you describe it. A friend of mine before 2017 told me, he says, remember that all eclipses last 8 seconds. I said, no, this lasts 2 minutes and 30 seconds. He goes, it's going to feel like 8 seconds. It goes by really fast. And if you're fiddling with your camera, you're going to... it. Now, I'm going to shoot this eclipse, but while I'm shooting, I'm not going to look through my camera at all. It's going to be all preset. I have a remote in my hand. I just press the button, and I'm going to be watching the eclipse, not looking through my camera. And if none of those pictures come out, I still saw the eclipse.
Sean, are you excited about what you believe this event will do for people's interest in astronomy?
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of people, you know, unfortunately, pay attention to astronomy. I mean, we're all typing and
you know, navigation, seasons and planting and harvesting, all that. And events like this excite people and get them enthused. And, you know, part of the project we're on is a citizen science project to try to engage people in doing the science and exploring and learning more about their universe, and to know that science isn't just Googling the answer. It's really a process of discovery, and there's a lot that goes into it on the front end, back end. So I really do hope it gets students in particular. I think a lot, you know, we've done lots of teacher workshops and lots of school groups, and I really hope that, you know, that those students are inspired to want to learn more about the world. I know for me is being, this is something really cool, and I think I want to do this. So it is one of those things that is really spectacular, and I do hope it will inspire that next generation.
That's where my inspiration came. My first eclipse was the 1963 eclipse here in Maine, and my memory is my dad taking my head in his big hands and turning my head very quickly, then quickly back again, and saying, "Did you see it? Now don't look at it again." And I don't really remember what I saw, but I remember my dad's big hands. But it inspired me, and I've loved astronomy ever since. I was 4 years old in 1963.
That's wow. A great start to a career. Yeah, I wanted to read an email from Raymond. I'm driving north on I-95 to East Millinocket to meet up with several family members from across the state to view the solar eclipse. Back in 2017, I found myself in North Carolina with my two sons, the solar eclipse that year. That was quite an adventure. It was August and my air conditioning went out in my truck, and my two preteen boys and I camped out on a national forest down there, period. For some reason, I thought I was going to be alone down there viewing the eclipse in nature, but I found myself surrounded by hundreds of thousands of other people, shoulder to shoulder, watching the eclipse. It was a very memorable experience. This year should prove eventful and memorable as well. Certainly, places that are normally rural, natural places are pretty much shoulder-to-shoulder people today, which is part of the excitement. We mentioned earlier that we do have a new Maine Public Vox Pop app that you can download to send us messages, voicemails, and we can use them on the air. So some folks have already done that, and so we do have another Vox Pop message today from Ned from Belfast. Let's take a listen.
Hi, I live in Belfast, and some friends and I are wanting to get a little bit closer to that 100% mark of eclipse. So we're packing up our car with some lounge chairs and a cooler, and we're heading up toward the Forks, where I used to be a raft guide, and I know some of the places around there. I hope I won't be in a traffic jam as I head up past Skowhegan, but going to take our chances, and we're going to set ourselves down a good hour before we need to have the eclipse take place, and have some beverages and wait for the excitement.
That's great. Let's go now to Kelly calling from, are you in the Mid-Coast, Kelly? Is that right?
Yeah, we're actually in Whitefield, sort of inland of the Mid-Coast area.
And did you have a question for our guests?
Yeah, I was just wondering, for those of us that live in Maine but can't travel to totality, and we have safe glasses and everything, but what can we expect to see, any of the effects, and about how much can we see east of totality, I guess?
Actually, and I'll add to that question, because someone else sent an email asking, will those in Harpswell, Brunswick, and Freeport see any of the eclipse? And I believe the answer is partially. Is that right?
Yes. Excuse me. Yes, you'll see like 98% of the eclipse. So the sun's going to disappear except for a little tiny thin arc like a crescent moon. It's still, you need your eclipse glasses. That's still 10,000 times brighter than the full moon, bright enough to damage your eyes. But it will be quite dramatic. It won't get as dark as it will be if you're in totality. You probably will not see the planets. You will not see the corona. But a partial eclipse is better than no eclipse. So you will see some interesting things, some things you don't see every day.
Yep.
Yeah, and you might notice at, right at the deepest portion that the sky is a little more silvery or steely blue. You might notice a little bit with the shadows in particular. Usually just, you know, a few minutes right before totality you get that. And if you're in a partial where it's, you know, 97, 98, you also get a little bit of that where the sky is a, sort of a different eerie color. Just a little bit, and the shadows seem a little sharper. It's really kind of cool.
Another cool thing you can do is take out a colander and let the sunlight shine through the holes of the colander, and if you look at the ground where it's shining or on a piece of paper, you'll get every hole will make a little tiny picture of the eclipse.
Yeah. And we've also had people do take an index card and poke their name and the year and then do that same thing, and then you can take a, you know, a picture of that, which is kind of cool. So you could do, you know, April 8th and where you are, Jackman, Maine, and, you know, with a little pinhole projector, and it makes it kind of fun too.
Well, thank you both so much, and I can't wait to hang out with you this afternoon and watch the eclipse. Cindy, back to
Lucky.
You to wrap it up.
Yeah, I envy you there. What a treat to have Maine Calling host Jennifer Rooks joining us from Jackman with our guests Sean Lotch and John Meter. Today's sound engineer was Sandra Harris, and we had help from John Bradford. And thank you to Heidi Dion and everyone at the Jackman Town office for all your help. Visit the Maine Calling website to sign up for our weekly newsletter. And don't forget the new Maine Public Vox Pop app. It's a way to get in touch with us. This is Maine Calling. I'm Cindy Hahn. Thanks for listening.